This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At 8:14, we're working through some technical issues with the telephone as we try to connect with CBS Pentagon correspondent Eleanor Watson to talk about the United States going into Venezuela and relieving Nicolas Maduro of his duties. 63 years old, he's the president. The vice president remains. She is, I guess, in control of the country. I don't know who's in control of the country right now. Her name is Delcy Rodriguez. Maduro's wife, Celia Flores, was also arrested and charged with conspiracy to traffic cocaine. The opposition leader is Maria Corina Machado, and they say that the election was stolen. At least that's what the Trump administration is alleging, that the election was stolen. However, the Trump administration doesn't want to work with Machado either. He says that even though she got the Nobel Peace Prize last year, Trump said she doesn't have the support within or the respect within the country. So you can text me at 504-260-1870 and let me know what you think about this, because I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, whether it's about democracy. Is it about oil? Is it about drugs? I know last week before this happened with Maduro, we had discussed, if we're blowing up boats that are trafficking drugs from Venezuela, why aren't we blowing up boats that are trafficking drugs from other countries? And according to the DEA, there are a lot of different countries that are trafficking drugs to the United States. So you would wonder, like, what about Colombia or Jamaica, Puerto Rico? They got a lot of countries that transport cocaine in these small boats, but we don't blow those up. So again, is it about oil? Is it about democracy? And what's legal, I said this earlier, is not always right. What's right is not always legal. Now, you get the politics of this. A lot of people are going to think no matter what President Trump does is wrong, or no matter what President Trump does is right. I do know that you can't just do stuff. There has to be some kind of legal precedent for this. There has to be some kind of yes or no. We have the guest or we don't. No. There has to be some legal precedent for this, and you have to have the right to do this. The United States hadn't done anything like this since, and this is what it reminded me of, 37 years ago when they went to get Noriega over allegations that he was leading a drug-running operation in Panama. Now, I don't remember if he surrendered or if he, because I thought we were going to have the reporter on to talk about this. I remember we were blaring music at his residence, and I think he came out and surrendered. I don't think we went in militarily and got him. That could be wrong. I'm going to have to look it up to see. So it also brings to question the Monroe Doctrine, and that has to do with the United States claiming to call the shots in Central America. And Trump said that maybe they could have a new thing called the Donroe Doctrine, named after himself. And, of course, the president is not one to usually blow his own horn or anything like that. I say that sarcastically. But anyway, how do you feel about this at 504-260-1870? I know they say the election was stolen, but President Trump said that Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth and those on the stage, okay, we now have our guest, Eleanor Watson, CBS Pentagon correspondent. Is that right?
Reporter, but I'll take the promotion.
All right, that's good. Thank you for taking the time with us. So I was trying to vamp while we were waiting to connect you with our technical problems that we had here and explain what happened. We went in with a military raid and found his safe house and got him a la Osama bin Laden, except we didn't kill him, right? Pretty much accurate?
That's pretty much accurate, and what I will say is that this was months in the making, similar to bin Laden, but months in the making. And what the administration has called this is more of a law enforcement operation, although we saw heavily supported by the military. About 150 aircraft sent Delta Force commandos in, dropped them off. They went into Maduro's bedroom. Before Maduro could get to the steel door into his safe house, they captured him, extracted him, came out, put him on a Navy warship. He's now in New York facing charges. As far as we know, no American troops on the ground now. Very tactical, successful mission. Only a few Americans wounded, but no Americans killed.
So who is running Venezuela now?
That's the big question. President Trump made a lot of news, a lot of head scratches when he said that we, the United States, are now running the country. The administration has walked that back a little bit to say the Maduro regime leaders, the vice president, Maduro's vice president, is now in charge, Delcy Rodriguez. But if she does not comply with the U.S. coercion to get Venezuela on a track that the United States would like to see, they will find ways to make sure that they do have someone in power who will align with U.S. interests.
So you can't just do stuff. I mean, you can, right? But usually there has to be some kind of legal precedent behind it. Under what law, under what world, I don't know what word I'm thinking of here, Eleanor, under what rule of law or under what justification does the president of the United States, whomever it is, have to go into a foreign country and, you could say, kidnap the president of that country, or you could say relieve him of his duties. You could phrase it however you wanted. But what does the law say about that? Is there international law about this?
By all indications, this is against international law. International law, United Nations resolutions that the U.S. has agreed to say you cannot invade a sovereign territory with the military. The administration is trying to make this a little bit more of a blurred line by saying this at its heart was a law enforcement operation. Maduro has been indicted for drug trafficking charges, which is why he was arrested using Department of Justice assets supported by the military. But if you look at what happened overnight, Friday into Saturday, it looked a lot like a military operation. And so it is murky as to whether or not this is international law, but there this violates international law, but there is precedent back in 1989. The George H.W. Bush administration similarly captured the leader of Panama, Noriega, and brought him to the U.S.
Yeah, I was trying
with drug trafficking.
I was trying to remember
offenses.
That. Did he surrender himself after we blasted music in, or did we have to physically remove him?
He surrendered, but the issue at the time and the United Nations found that the H.W. Bush administration violated international law by going in there and taking him out. But the U.S. obviously vetoed U.N. action on that, and so the H.W. Bush administration essentially got away with it. Setting precedent today for this one was more audacious, more military power over a one-night period. But there are some murky lines when it comes to international law on capturing, kidnapping a leader.
I know your time is limited. Hopefully we get to talk to you again. Eleanor Watson, CBS Pentagon reporter. Sorry about the technical problems, but we'll try to get it worked out for next time when we talk to you. Thank you, 823. Traffic now, WWL. All right, here we go, 828. I'm getting some texts here from people very passionate on either side of the issue. And again, it goes back to what I said where, you know, if some people think that no matter what President Trump does is right because it's President Trump. Some people think that no matter what President Trump does is wrong because it's President Trump. President Trump did campaign on getting the U.S. out of foreign entanglements, and this, in a way, could kind of be like the old thing, if you break it, you own it. I don't know if this is about drugs. I don't know if this is about oil. I don't know if this is about democracy. But if it is, well, then there are a lot of countries that we could intervene in when it comes to drugs or democracy or, I guess, oil. I don't know. Brooke Laser joins us now to talk about the weather and this up and down cycle that we're having. How are you, young lady? Happy New Year to you.
Hello, Tommy. Happy New Year. It's great to hear your voice and be with you.
Well, it's good to talk to you. Tell me about this roller coaster that we're riding here. What's causing it to be so warm?
Yeah, I'm not mad about it personally. I'm a fan. We've got some southerly flow coming off the Gulf, and the only thing it's caused this morning that's been a little problematic is some fog. But that will be our trend over the next couple days, and we're waiting on our next cold front arriving late Friday into Saturday. So that's good news because the rain that does come will hopefully not interrupt anyone's plans in the middle of the night.
Can we infer anything about the long-range forecast for the wintertime?
I'm not sure about January 21st, if you're referencing last year's snow day, but
yeah.
It looks like we're going to be above average for the next couple weeks, not seeing any really Arctic air yet. But this week, definitely a little bit more seasonally warm than I think some people might like. However, I'm a fan of the 70s.
You're a fan, so you like it. So what about fog?
So fog will be a bit of a problem into the next couple mornings just because we'll have our temperatures and dew points matching up. And whenever that happens, we do have the possibility for some fog to develop. Today, it was pretty patchy altogether. Today was a little bit of a different type of fog because we had that warm air coming off the Gulf and then over cooler land.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
DSW, Earthplace of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
And whereas the next couple mornings will start to warm up, especially into the later part of the week.
And so, a quick survey. You know who Patrick Warburton is, don't you?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure, Tommy. You always hit me with these questions that I haven't been able to prepare
for. Well, he's Bacchus this year.
Okay, yes, Kronk.
Yeah, and he's the he played Putty on Seinfeld, for those of you that Elaine's
yes.
boyfriend Putty on Seinfeld. So there you go. Thank you,
Isn't
Brooke.
Isn't that bad? I know their character, but not always their formal name.
There you go. And he doesn't look anything like he used to look either. So there you go. Thank you, Brooke Laser. We'll take a break,
thanks,
come
Tommy.
Back, talk to a professor of sociology at Tulane University who studied Venezuela for 30 years, living there for 16. Right now it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 8:45, quarter till 9. Optimistic as always, we go to David Smild, a professor of sociology at Tulane University who studied Venezuela for 30 years, lived there for 16. Good morning, professor. How are you?
Good morning.
Did I get your last name right or not?
Well, it depends where you are. In the U.S., we usually say Smildy.
Smildy. Okay, well, I'll pronounce it however you want. It's your name.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about your thoughts about, you know, because I was saying before you came on, we all have thoughts. Some of them are shaded by politics about what's right, what's wrong, what's legal, what's not, what should be done, what shouldn't be done. I don't know how the people of Venezuela feel about this. Let's start, David, I guess, with your thoughts when you heard what happened over the weekend with us going in, or the United States going in and capturing Nicolas Maduro.
Well, I was a little surprised about it because the weeks before that, it seemed like the Trump administration was aiming at just trying to restrict the flow of oil from Venezuela and trying to squeeze the country economically. And so I was a little surprised that this happened. I mean, I think nobody is really sorry to see Nicolas Maduro go. I think most Venezuelans are, from whatever political stripe, are quite happy about that, as are people abroad. I think things got much more complicated when we heard President Trump talk about this operation, and he didn't mention democracy even one time during his press conference. Instead, talked about Venezuela's oil and said that the United States was going to control Venezuela, despite not having any boots on the ground. And so that left a lot of questions. It also worried a lot of people about where was this going? Was this actually going to go to anything that would be in favor of democracy in Venezuela? Or is this going to be, you know, some kind of new colonial relationship of, you know, basically by taking advantage of Venezuelan resources? None of that is quite clear. So I think there's a lot of questions still.
So day to day right now, I'm trying to think, and you live there. Is there any comparison at all to, and I'm not talking about the, you know, who's doing what or the philosophy behind this, but just the day-to-day operations of somebody coming in and seizing President Trump from the White House and taking him to Venezuela as far as what would happen with the country? The vice president just stepped up and took over the day-to-day operations, or what was the situation in Venezuela before? Was it a terribly dysfunctional situation?
Yeah, it was a terribly dysfunctional situation in the sense that they've had real economic mismanagement and corruption, as well as the effects of U.S. sanctions. So there has been a real economic recession for a long time. The economy is about 20% the size of what it was 10 years ago. And also there's been quite a bit of political repression. People don't talk about politics in the street. So now what we've seen is Nicolas Maduro and his wife have been taken from the country, but everything else has been left intact. And in fact, you know, we tend to think about politics very much in personalist terms, in terms of whoever is the president, but presidents, you know, preside over an enormous government. And their main role is to put the people they want in position. So if you just take a president away, things continue to march on. No, President Trump goes on vacation, or Nicolas Maduro, you know, goes on a foreign trip. Things don't change. And so that's what we've seen. Nothing really has changed at this point. But there's a big question there. Is something going to change? Because President Trump and Marco Rubio have basically said, oh, we're going to be in control of this, and we're going to make sure that Venezuelan resources are going to go to the people. It's not at all clear yet what that means. Is there going to be any significant kind of change? Are they going to invite, is the U.S. going to lift sanctions so that U.S. oil companies can go back and operate in Venezuela? Are they going to release political prisoners? Is there going to be any elections scheduled? All of these are huge question marks that are not clear right now what exactly is going to change. So in Venezuela, the people I talked to, I'm not there right now, I'm in New Orleans, people are just very apprehensive, making sure they have enough food in the house, and are just trying to, themselves figure out what is next.
So the president said at his press conference that the people that are standing right behind me would oversee the country, meaning Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State. From a philosophical argument, I guess, nobody voted in Venezuela, voted for them. If we're going to talk about democracy, take me back to Maduro and stealing the election, or what happened there with the election.
Yeah, so this is a situation. It is not a democratic context now, because in July 2024, Venezuelans went to an election and massively voted for Edmundo Gonzalez, who was the candidate of Maria Corina Machado, the recent Nobel Prize laureate. And, the opposition won this election by all accounts, but Maduro did not recognize the election and said that he had won and continued on as president. So he was an illegitimate president and an illegitimate government, but that nevertheless had the guns and had the institutions and had control over the economy. And so they were in power. Now they are still in power, but just without Nicolas Maduro, and they have the United States over top of them, supposedly calling the shots. It's not clear what that means, really. I think because there are no boots on the ground, there's nobody in the U.S. there controlling things. I think what it means is that the Trump administration is going to keep this military operation off of the coast of Venezuela and threatening to invade again if they don't do what they want. So that is not a democratic situation. That's not what Venezuelans are accustomed to living. It's not a big change from what they had before. The big question is this going to lead to something? Is this going to lead to a Democrat transition? Hopefully there's been some statements from Marco Rubio saying that should be the case. Donald Trump didn't talk about that at all in his statements. All he talked about was, U.S. oil companies extracting oil in Venezuela and trying to get the resources to go to Venezuelan people and to reimburse the United States, et cetera. So you're getting different messages, which is, I think, typical of this government and really typical of any government. But hopefully this will work towards democracy. There's no sign of that yet. But
right, let me take a break, Dave, and when we come back, we'll talk about the opposition, because the president said he's not been in contact with Maria Machado, who was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. He said she doesn't have the support within or the respect within the country. So who does? Who would the opposition be? And if we were to help Venezuela install a president that the Venezuelan people want or voted for, who would it be? 852 Traffic Now, WWL. 856, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to David Smildy, professor of sociology at Tulane University, studied Venezuela for 30 years, lived there for 16. So I was talking about opposition to Maduro. He lost. He says he won the election, but he actually lost to the candidate backed by Maria Machado, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's right.
The president says that Machado doesn't have the respect or the whatever it was she doesn't have the support within or the respect within the country. So who is the opposition party, or what would the opposition look like?
Well, I think that is actually not true. I mean, that she is the one that led that electoral movement that had their candidate win 70% of the vote, and she just won the Nobel Prize. She has huge support within the country. I think there's a couple things that are behind this. What happened is I think that to have installed her with this operation would have been a huge effort at regime change and nation building that would have been required that I think Trump was not willing to do. And we've all seen how difficult that can be in the case of Iraq and Afghanistan. And so I think he didn't want to go there. He thought it was more likely to sort of get rid of Maduro and try to work with the rest of the government and try to cajole it into the direction the U.S. wants. Whether that's going to work, we'll see. But it's understandable to not want to go so far as to try and install a completely different set of people like Maria Corina Machado would have represented.
That is who the people voted for, right? In Venezuela?
Yeah, I mean, they voted for her candidate, and because she was excluded from the election, and that is who people voted for, and she's enormously popular. Mm-hmm. So it's not really that. I mean, there's also the Washington Post is saying today that Trump is also resentful that she actually accepted the Nobel Prize instead of refusing it and saying it should have gone to him. No, he thought he should have won it. That may be. I think in any case, you know, if things proceed and there are eventually elections, well, she could be a candidate and then she might still have her day since she's enormously popular.
So what are your feelings about, I guess, Venezuela and what happens in the interim? What's the next step here?
Yeah, I think this week is going to be key, and we shall see what is going to happen. You know, and I think we'll see if there's going to be any real change. Is the United States going to lift its sanctions that would allow U.S. oil companies to operate in Venezuela? Is the Delcy Rodriguez government going to release political prisoners or do anything substantial to try to make this a more democratic nation, or are they just going to hold on to power? Is there going to be sort of tit-for-tat microphone fights between the U.S. and Venezuela, or are they going to try to collaborate and work together? I think all of that we're going to see in the coming days, and so it'll be quite interesting to follow.
Thank you, sir. Hope we talk to you again. David Smile, the professor of sociology at Tulane, studied Venezuela for 30 years. We'll talk to Greg Upton from LSU about the oil aspects of this when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.